And I don't believe any of us are without sin that's here tonight. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I don't feel like that should hinder us from striving to be like Christ as much as possible. And a lot of times I think if we're not careful, we'll think, well, He was perfect. I can never be perfect. And we don't strive as much as we could to be just like Him. Praise God. Want to real quickly just give the Lord praise. My wife talked to Sister Myrick this week, and my wife's in Iowa visiting her folks. Pray as they're coming back Friday. We'll stay an extra day, but she talked to her, and when we was on our missions trip there, she was telling that, you know, they've had several kids start coming and everything from that, but there was, I think, a brother and a sister, or maybe two sisters or something, they picked up and been coming for several weeks, and they said, "Hey, can we bring our cousin?" Well, they're, you know, naturally, we're sure. And so they started, went and got this kid this past Tuesday, I think it was, and brought him to church. And he started asking them, "What is church? What's church all about?" Never in his life has he ever been to church. And he came, and I don't know if he prayed or got saved, anything like that, but he was asking a lot of questions about what church was and what it's all about. And I just give God praise. And they're very excited just from what the Lord's doing. The kids just started coming from us being there. And I just thought I'd share that and give the Lord praise for it. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Excited to hear the great testimonies, what the Lord's doing in hearts and lives. He's faithful. And the Word says that He's the same yesterday, today, and you know what? He'll be the same tomorrow. Forever. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verse 14, then we're going to skip down a little bit. But it says, "For by one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified." And then skipping down to verse 17, it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, whether remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath constrained for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Brother Streeter, if you'll pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I like what Brother Like said. He's committed. I don't know if that's his exact words, but he's in it for the long haul, to the finish. And verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." That's the kind of faith that we need to have. We need to be determined, no matter how long we've been saved, if we're just starting out such as He, that we're committed to the very end. As Pastor tells us all the time, if don't leave a back door open. If you're looking for a place to quit, you'll find one. And that's so true. But I want to preach tonight on a thought: God's house, a place of worship. God's house, a place of worship. I believe it's very important that we understand the importance and the meaning of coming and dwelling at God's house. And God, from the very beginning of time, has always met and moved on people's heart and life. His desire has always been to move and to lead and direct their lives from the beginning of time. I mean, right there with Adam and Eve in the garden, it was His desire to lead them, to guide them, instruct them. And when He first put them in there, He gave them instructions from the very beginning. You can eat of anything but this tree here. And of course, probably just like any of us, that's what they did, is went and ate of that. I know there's some that, well, if I would have been there, I sure wouldn't have done that. You know, they really messed it up. Yeah, they was flesh and blood just like you and I. And chances are we'd have probably done the same thing. I mean, we have a hard time doing what's right here and now. But nevertheless, we weren't there. But I'll tell you one thing we do know is the Father was there trying to lead them and trying to guide them and give them direction. And it wasn't just there with those guys, Adam and Eve, but He was there to lead and help whoever. Our Father's desire is to have for us to have a real up-to-date experience and a real intimate relation with us. That's His desire. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He doesn't just want it a one-sided thing where we have it with Him, but He wants that with us. But do we desire the same thing of Him? Do we desire to have a real, meaningful relationship with Him? Understand, I first mentioned that what He wants, what His desire is. But is that the same as our desires? I mean, we all know that the Lord loves us, that He died on the cross for us to take our sins away. We realize that. We recognize that. We know that we need to do what's right. But do we have a desire after we've been saved, and we know we're saved and on our way to heaven, but do we have a desire to draw closer than what we are? There's a lot of people that you go out to the mall or just walk over here to McDonald's. You ask, you know, everybody that comes through the drive-thru, are you saved? I'd say probably 50% of them would probably say yes. Probably more than that. But if we was to get in their car and drive around with them very long, we'd realize they probably is not as saved as they think they are or hope that they are. And the reason why is because people have not realized what it is to have an intimate relationship with the Father. Now, there's a lot of people, they don't like the word use there, intimate, and they get alarmed, they get scared, you know, what's the preacher going to talk about there? But to be intimate with someone does not just mean sexually there. This could help with your relationship with God if you understand it. And that, to be quite honest, it could help with your relationship with your companion, your spouse, once you see and hear what it means to be intimate with someone. And so I looked it up, and I couldn't find the word intimate in the Bible. So I looked it up in just the dictionary. It's on my computer. And there was five or six different meanings. I put down five. We'll look at four, and you'll understand why in a minute. But one of them, intimate, means close, was one of the definitions. And it says this: having, involving, resulting from a close personal relationship. Secondly, there was cozy, quiet and private, or secluded, enabling people to feel relaxed with each other. Another one was private or personal. So private and personal as to be kept secret or discussed only with a close friend or relative. Fourthly, it was sexual. I think we all know what that means. And then five is closely connected. Very close, because of the influence of one thing on another. Very close because of the influence of one thing on another. Those are the definitions that it gave about the word intimate. Only one of them has to do with being sexual. But all those other things, I mean, let me ask you, just by that definition, how intimate are you with your spouse? How intimate are you with your children? How intimate are you with other family and even friends? It puts a whole new perspective on the word when you realize, hey, there's other meanings here. Because most of the time when people talk about someone being intimate, they think about the sexual side of things. And it means a whole lot more than just that side. And I think it would be safe to say that the Lord wants us to be intimate with Him. I think He wants us to be intimate. I mean, when you look at that definition, I mean, that just seems like the heart cry of the Father, that He desires all those things by us. I mean, He don't desire, Patrick, for you to be intimate with, but He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be intimate with each and every one of us. But let me ask you, do we desire to be intimate with Him? Is that our heart's desire? God, as I said already, met with Adam and Eve. I believe He was very intimate with them. He just didn't meet with them, but He met with Noah. He's met with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and the list goes on and on and on. He met with them time and time again. But He didn't meet with them in a place of worship like what we're at right now. There wasn't a place of worship that I've seen. I mean, there was times where no doubt that I'm sure they was maybe at a house church or, you know, Noah got off the ark and he built an altar right then and there. But he wasn't at a synagogue. He wasn't at the tabernacle. He wasn't in the sanctuary. But he met God and had an experience with God. But over in Exodus 25 and 8, it says here that, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This is the first place that I've seen where it talks about a building of a sanctuary of any kind there for God's people. But you know, faithful church attendance has become a lost art and a forgotten duty in the day that we live. But that scripture that we just read, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." I don't need to get the NIV, the Amplified, or any other version of the Bible to understand what that means. But just in case we have a little trouble, it says, make me a sanctuary, make me a church that I can dwell with my people. And then another way of putting it would be, make me a church so that the people of God will come and we can have time together. But as I just said, that faithful church attendance has become a lost art and a forgotten duty. Now I know that you may be thinking, Brother Armstrong, you're preaching to the faithful. You may be thinking, we're here on a Wednesday night. And I know most of the time that if you're here on a Wednesday night, you're usually here Sunday morning and Sunday night. I understand that. I'm not here to argue that or to say you're not. But there are many that say they pray at home, yet they never pray earnestly to seek the face of God when they come to church. And then it's the other way around as well. Then there's people that come to church and man, they'll pray up a storm at church. But then when they go home, they never seek the face of God until they come back to church the next week or the next service. So I understand there's a lot of things and a lot of realize that there's a lot of people that can say a lot of things and we can, you know, do a lot of things, but actions still speak louder than words in a lot of cases. And there are both, in both of these things, they're wrong on both sides. They're both missing out on what God has for them. We have had faithfulness to church played down in our society so much that people don't think anything about coming to church just once a week. What happens is, let me ask you, what happens though when a person that goes to that type of church or they choose to do that kind of a thing, whether they have three services like we do or they have just one service. But you think about someone like that. What happens if they go just once a week and, well, they have to work then all of a sudden on Sunday? I mean, you take Brother Boyer, for example. Sometimes he has to work on Sunday. Or maybe he comes Sunday morning for Sunday school and then he's had to leave before. But you take someone that has a situation like that or maybe, you know, family comes in. Nowadays, if relatives comes in, you can't come to church. Or if you go out of town. If you go out of town, my pastor always talked about if you go out of town, it's okay to go to church somewhere. I mean, they would give out visitor's cards, I mean, just unbelievably. And they would bring the, when the offering come up, they'd bring that visitor card and our pastor would announce it from the pulpit and let the person know we was glad they was there. But if they were out of town, if it said they were on a job or just visiting from Florida or wherever it may be, I mean, he would go and just commend them that they came to church whenever they were away from there. And that's good. He wanted them to realize that somebody was impressed, somebody was proud, other than just God, that they were going to church. But what I'm trying to get you to realize is if someone just goes to church once a week and they miss because they're sick or whatever the reason is, before long they've missed 2 or 3 weeks worth of church because they go just once a week. How does that leave the spiritual man? Because we go to church to get fed. Now, I could stand to lose and to miss a lot of meals. And if I was just eating once a week, you'd be able to tell real quick. And you can tell I'm not doing that by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, today in our society, we have the nicest churches we've ever had. Yet, we make use of them less than we ever have. I mean, you think about that. I mean, you know, you drive around town, go to Mishawaka, go to Indy, go to some places. Man, you can see some marvelous churches. But they go just once a week, every now and then. He asked in Exodus to make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The Father's cry, the Father's desire is to dwell among His people. God has a special purpose in you coming to church. There are things that God wants to do for you and for the glory of God that only comes by you being in church and worshiping Him and dwelling in His place. Not in your own place. I understand that we can read our Bible at home. I understand that we can pray at home and we need to do that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's something about being faithful and going to the house of God. I mean, the scripture that we read talked about, the last scripture that we read says, forsaking not the assemblings of ourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And as closer as we get to the coming of the Lord, instead of us doing that very thing, we're doing just the opposite. Do you realize why you are being faithful and who is to benefit from it? I have 3 reasons why we should keep coming and being faithful to church every time the doors are open. Every time the doors are open. My pastor said when he first got saved, he said every time the doors were open, he said, I went to church. He said they had to tell me not to come to the ladies' meeting because all I knew was the church was open and, you know, it was time to go to church. He said he tried to stay home one time and he said it was in the winter time and it had snowed and it was he didn't have any transportation. He was the only one in his family just as a kid, 12 or 13 years old, that was saved. And he said that the snow had snowed and it was kind of deep and he said he just did not feel like going to church for the price. So he said, I'll just go to bed early. And he went in there and laid down and said, any other time I could have gone to sleep. But he said, not this night. He said, I laid there, I tossed and turned. He goes, I was miserable. He said, so finally, he said, I got up, put my clothes on, and he said, I walked to church. He said, I come in late. And the pastor said, I'm glad you're here, better late than never, or something to him. And he said, but he never, ever after that, ever tried to play hooky from church. God was trying to do something in his life. God had a purpose for him being there. But I've got 3 things. And number one is, we owe it to God to be faithful. We owe it to God. And I've got 4 points under that, and I'm going to go real quickly. But if we owe it to God, it's because His presence is there. With the presence you feel at church, why else would you not want to come to church? Why else would you not want to come back for more? I mean, just think about tonight. I mean, where else can you go and hear the testimonies that you've heard about what God has done in somebody's life that you know of? I mean, it's one thing, you can go to a concert, you can go here and you can go there that are some kind of a church service or even go to church somewhere else and hear people testify, but it's something whenever you can hear about a man getting saved that you know truly got saved. You know that needed to be saved. Do you have those feelings anywhere else Do you get those feelings at home? Do you get them anywhere else when you're praying? There's things that only come by being at church and in the presence of God. And we owe it to God. Just here a few months ago, I was telling Pastor about this. My uncle, he's been one that goes to church, and there was another man there, then they kind of did the same thing. Every time it was time, they'd say for the musicians to come or to stand, they would turn around and walk out of church. They would come practically every Sunday morning and even Sunday nights. They didn't come on Wednesdays very often. But every time they would turn around and leave. And here some time back, my uncle really got saved and was doing good, and then he kind of started slacking off, and some things happened in the family. Terrible things, family broke up and different things, and boy, it really got him shook up, and he started going to church, started not just going to church, he started going down to the altar, he started getting up at home and praying and actually reading his Bible. I mean, God really transformed this man's life. Now the other man, he kept on for several years. I thought, man, maybe this will rub off on him. But it never seemed to have any effect. And this other man, he has two daughters that's in full-time ministry. Their husbands pastor churches and just doing great things for God. Just seemed like it was no big deal to him. I mean, he was very respectful, nice man. He didn't, you know, out sinning real bad or nothing, but he just wasn't saved. And here a little while back, I heard that he had a heart attack. Real bad shape and was in the hospital. They didn't even know if he was going to pull through. And I thought, man, if this don't get the man's attention, he's in pretty bad shape. And I kept on wondering. I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to ask on Facebook, and I didn't know him well enough to really call and ask. I felt like, has he gotten saved? So I just thought, well, I'll wait and see, you know, what people say, and never really heard anything. And here, just a couple of weeks ago, I seen on Facebook that one of the daughters said that for 43 years, she's been alive and never once has seen her dad down at the altar until that night or the night before. And during a camp meeting, I think he had already gotten saved, but during his camp meeting, he was actually down at the altar with his hands raised, worshiping God. I mean, God is faithful, church. God is still saving. And I tell you what, those are things that you only experience and see when you're in the presence of God. Secondly, is His Word is taught there. The truths that He gives to our pastor, our shepherd, is to lead us. And you only get those by coming to the house of God. And do you realize that pastor don't just study back there? I don't just study in my office and just think, well, let's see, what do we want to preach tonight? Well, you know, we hadn't preached on healing in a while. We hadn't preached on this in a while. We don't just twiddle our thumbs and pull a book off the shelf and figure out what we're going to preach. No, we pray and get the mind of the Lord and get the direction that God would have. Not for us, but for the church as a whole. And do you realize that God speaks and He gives us a message, and it could be the very thing that would be for you or the person that sits over here, or the person that sits over here, or sits over here, but they're not here. And you know, there's a lot of people I've heard, well, God will give it to me whenever I need it. Well, maybe you needed it, but you weren't there. God's Word is taught at the house of God. His people are there. You will find His people to be faithful, to be caring, burden bearers, giving, loving. What else could you ask or need for, have need of? I mean, we're talking about we owe it to God, and God's people are here tonight. I understand there's problems. I understand we're human. We're people. I mean, the disciples, they had problems amongst themselves at times. But as a whole, there should be unity. There should be a unified body of Christ. Everybody is in one mind and in one accord. I mean, people shouldn't dread to come to church because of problem. No, they should love to come to church because they know how faithful, how caring and giving and loving the people of God are. We sing praises to Him there. Where else do you go and really sing praises to the Lord like you do at church? Now, I want you to think about this. Where else do you really go and sing praises and feel the presence of God like you do at church? Now, I'm probably a little old-fashioned for my generation and the generation today. I mean, I'm not saying that if you listen to contemporary, I'm not saying if you listen to this, I'm not saying if you listen to that, you're wrong and on your way to hell. I'm not saying that at all. But what I want you to think about is when you're listening to stuff, when you're driving down the road, when you're at home, whether it be contemporary or whether it be, you know, something a little rougher. I mean, I don't think there is, but there's people that say there's Christian rock, there's Christian this and there's Christian that. It's either Christian or it's not Christian. But what I want you to think about is when you're at church and you're worshiping the Lord and you're hearing, I'm not saying you got to play Amazing Grace. I'm not saying you have to play I Fly Away. But whatever you're playing, whatever you're singing, whatever you're doing, it ought to be able to create the same atmosphere. And you ought to be able to feel the same Holy Ghost and the presence of God. Whether you're at church playing the same music or whether you're in your car driving down the road listening to something a little bit different, it ought to create the same atmosphere. But where else can you go and feel the same presence and feel the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the presence of convicting power of God during a worship service like you feel when you come to church? We owe it to God to be faithful. Secondly, we owe it to the church. It is the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. You are a part of the body. Would your body make it very good if your leg or your arm was missing? I mean, how good would you make it around if you just had one leg? You wouldn't make it very good. If you just had one arm, I got a neighbor just down the road. I don't know what's the matter with him, but his hand is about this far up on his arm. And I mean, he gets out there, mows the grass, moves stuff around. I mean, the other day he had a garage sale set up, tent and all that. I mean, just doing all kinds of stuff. It doesn't bother him. I mean, I'm sure it does. Does somebody who drives a car just fine? I mean, he does all kinds of stuff. And there's been a few times where I felt like I was over at his house and maybe getting something, borrowing something from him. And you know, there's some people you don't try to help because it offends them. And so just here and there, I'll kind of occasion. I mean, he brought the other day a pole trimmer thing over where you pull the rope and you're cutting the limb. I mean, he bringing that over and he's showing me how to work the thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, how? I wouldn't think that you'd be able to do that, but he's gotten past that. But what if our leg or arm was missing totally? We wouldn't be able to make it that far. Well, we owe it to each other to be all we can be in this body of Christ. We all should work together in one mind and one accord. But what I'm getting at is, if we're the body of Christ, do we think about whenever we're missing? Do we think about whenever we're not at church for whatever reason? Do we think that, you know, that could be the same as missing the arm in the flesh? Do you realize that people depend on you? There's people that when they see that you're not here, that I mean, they don't get down and break down and cry and, you know, throw a fit or nothing. But, man, so-and-so is not here tonight. Where are they at? There's something about coming to the house of God. I mean, and seeing the people of God there. You just look around. I want everybody to kind of look around. Look and see who's here. Not to see who's not here. But look at the crowd. Now, we've all come to church at times where there's a smaller crowd than what's here tonight. But you think about the times you come to church and the crowd wasn't very big. I mean, you almost just as well got back in your car and went home because you were so discouraged because there was hardly nobody there. You thought, well, we can't even hardly have church. Have you ever got that feeling? Yeah, we all have. You ought to be the one up here preaching then those times. Or leading the songs. Or playing the instruments. I'm talking about we owe it to the church. I'm talking about it's the body of Christ. We owe it to the church because it brought us salvation. The church did not just start and get going a few years and get a few people saved and that was it and it fell by the wayside. No, in Matthew 16:18 it says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you realize the gates of hell are trying to prevail against it? I mean, you know how stupid and dumb the devil is. I mean, he took Jesus up to a high mountain and tried to tempt him in three different ways. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to take part of the Godhead that he was right there in heaven with and still be dumb enough to tempt him? And he knows that this verse is in the Bible. I mean, you know, how many times have people quoted it to the devil? I mean, he's listening right now to what I'm preaching. But do you realize that he still is trying to prevail? He still thinks that he can still win over the church and over Jesus Christ. But it brought you the most greatest thing possible, our salvation. It's through the church of Jesus Christ. Without us, it will fail. What is to happen to the church if we're not going to stand up? If we're not going to stand up and be a part of the church, if we're not going to stand up and be the church, it will fail. And in Psalms 94 and 16, it says, "Who will rise up against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" We got to have some people stand. We got to have some people that realize that it can fail. It can fall by the wayside. We owe it to the church to be faithful. Thirdly, my last point is we owe it to ourselves. Church, we owe it to ourselves to be faithful. There's more to just coming to church and it being just a normal service. And I don't believe that tonight has been a normal service. I believe that there's been powerful testimonies. There's been some serious needs brought before the church that we are to lift up and carry home and carry them as burdens for us, just as if they were our own. But I'll tell you what, there's times where it is, where it's just such like, well, man, that was just like any other service. There was nothing, you know. It ought not to be that way. We owe it to ourselves to be faithful to church. And you know what? God will be faithful to us and show up in a mighty special way. We owe it to ourselves. It strengthens us spiritually when we're faithful. We owe it to our spiritual man. You may think you are okay and you can make it, but you're not. Let me ask you, how many people have to fall by the wayside for us to see the big picture? How many people do we have to see backslide? How many people do we have to see give up and throw in the towel? Why? Because they tried to do it within themselves. They tried to make it all by themselves. They tried to do it alone. They were too proudful, Sister Cervantes, to get up and say, "I have a need." And we're in a bad state of being, church, because there's not many people getting up and saying, "Hey, I have needs and I need God to really help me." I mean, we're to do that. That's okay. It's scriptural. But being faithful to church, it strengthens us spiritually. We can energize. We can be energized and we should be energized each and every time we come to church. I believe that we ought to be energized. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if we come to the men's fellowship, we can still be energized. Whether they have a devotion or not, whether they come to the ladies' book club and they study a book, a godly book, but if it was the ladies' night out where they just have their fellowship and go out to eat, I mean, you can be energized through those very things. But above all, when we're actually in church in a service and feeling the presence of God, you owe it to yourselves. We receive Christian instruction. Too many think and have thought that they could get the instructions on their own. But they made a mess of things. They missed out on some things somewhere and they missed all the warning signs and lost out. I mean, I understand we can get instruction by ourselves. I don't need pastor to hold my hand. I don't need him to come every day and wake me up and say, "Hey, it's time for devotions. Let's have devotion here together." I mean, I remember he was telling me about there was a guy that wanted him to do that. He wanted him to come over to his house at, I think, 5 in the morning and have devotions with him because this guy couldn't get up on his own and do it by himself. Well, I tell you what, we're in bad shape if we can't get up on our own and do that ourselves. But what I'm talking about is there's people that think, well, that's all I need. It's okay if I don't come to church on this night or that night or I don't do this or I don't do that. But we receive Christian instructions when we come to the house of God. We, just like I was talking about a while ago, God speaks, God instructs through the pastor, through the shepherd, even through the revival evangelist. Brother Ron, if you'll get some music ready. And then we owe it to ourselves, we can experience Christian fellowship. And I believe this is a big area where a lot of Christians lack, and even a lot of holiness Christians lack in a lot of areas and a lot of places. We can come and enjoy good, clean, and uplifting fellowship from our brothers and sisters in the Lord. When we come, when we stay after church, I mean, we're not just, you know, I mean, there's usually a, you know, we got a baby shower coming up. Usually when we do things, it's because there's something going on. We don't just say, hey, other than the men's fellowship and the ladies' fellowship, we don't just very often say, hey, let's go back here and have fellowship, bring food to everybody. There's usually another agenda. But you may feel like you don't need it. You may feel like, you know, I don't need to hang out with the guys. I don't need to hang out with the ladies. I'm okay. You need to remember we're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ. And I understand there's some people that they're not just real sociable people. They're not just real talkative people. I mean, I'm bad about that. I don't always just, you know, big talker. And I know there's times where you get with somebody and you may want to talk, but you can't because they do all the talking. Or it's the other way around. It works both ways sometimes. But what I'm trying to get you to see is we're a part of the, we are the body of Christ. We're a family. And I want to ask you, how bad do you need your earthly family? And how bad do they need you? Well, what about our spiritual family? Once or twice a month, I don't believe that's too much to invest into someone's life that may be needing a life-changing experience. You see, we always think of, I always hear it, well, I don't need that. I'm not a sociable person. I don't know. Well, that's good. But what about the brother or sister that is a sociable person or that does need some, just some fellowship? I mean, what about the, I mean, there's some people that they don't have a family. They don't have somebody else. They need to interact. And we can experience help for ourselves and others by Christian fellowship. In Hebrews 10 and 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He hath constrained for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The Lord made a new way of coming to Him. I believe we ought to make the best of it. I believe we ought to be faithful to the house of God. I believe there's a purpose in coming to the house of God. I believe there's principles that we can get a hold of by coming to the house of God. I believe God wants to work in our lives. In church, we owe it to God. We owe it to our church. And we owe it to our spiritual man, ourselves, even the flesh, to be faithful to the house of God. I want us to stand. As we pray, I want us to pray tonight. Let's purpose to really come to His dwelling place and make it a real time of dwelling with the Father. He said, having boldness to enter into that new and living way. He's alive, church. He's alive. This is His dwelling place. And why in the world would people not want to be here every chance they get is beyond me. It really is. It's beyond me. When I was growing up in church, when I was a kid, I knew we was going to church every time. If my mom was sick, I went to church. I mean, every time. It didn't matter if she was sick when it was. Either I would stay home one time, or maybe and then my sister and brother, they would go, or one of them would stay and the rest of us would go. We went. We was faithful. There was nobody else there to make us go. She wasn't there. She was sick in a bed. She wasn't there up making us go. She was asleep. She wouldn't have known if we went to church or not. But there was something inside of my heart and life that I desired to go to church. I purposed in my heart to be faithful every time the doors were opened. Why? Because not just to be faithful. I understand you're here and you're faithful. And I'm not getting on nobody. I'm just saying a down message. What I want us to see is the purpose. And we can get in a rut sometimes and just say, well, I was faithful to church. But what we need to realize is we're not just coming to be faithful. We're coming because it's His dwelling place. And He said He wants to dwell with His people. That's why we're here tonight. We've come to meet with God and dwell and be in His presence. Praise God. Father, we thank You. Father, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in a country where we still have the freedom, Lord, to come and worship You. Lord, there's been places, Lord, from almost the beginning of time, Lord, sanctuaries, organized places for people to come and worship You, Lord. God, and we thank You, Lord, that we still have that freedom. We still have that opportunity. God, and I pray that we'll make, Lord, every opportunity that is set before us, Lord, a time that we come to dwell with You, Lord. That we'll come and earnestly seek You, Lord, and be intimate with You and draw near and close to what we've ever been before, Father. I ask You to help us tonight, Lord, as we pray and seek Your face. Move upon this congregation. Move upon our hearts and lives. Speak to us, Lord. We give You the praise and the glory, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.